17, oh, sorry. Yes, what is the time? It's about 15 minutes to 10 o'clock. The discussion around sexual violence, gender-based violence, never far off from these airwaves, and I'm sure very much part of your discussion amongst your family, your workspace, and the safety and health of students and staff in higher education is now on the agenda again. Two of the more recent incidents came to light last week. One at Stellenbosch University, where a student was raped. Another student was arrested, released on 1,000 rand bail. The university is postponing exams by a week because of this, according to News 24, and of course also related to the broader issue of that alleged racist incident at Stellenbosch University. But then there's also an investigation currently underway at UCT, where last week an unnamed student took to social media and claimed that they were raped by a professor linked to the medical faculty. Also, a member of staff who's also connected to the Western Cape Health Department, and in a statement posted online by the UCT Vice Chancellor, Mamohedi Pakeng, saying various things, but among them saying that the student also refused help from the university and they are there to assist, but they need the assist. There's the student to come forward and to talk about the issues. And also at UCT last week, something like 11 students being physically removed from their residence. I think it was the Roscommon residence, where students took it upon themselves, saying that there are a group of students who are guilty, not guilty in a legal sense, but that they're aware of they're guilty of gender-based violence and sexual assault. So students taking it upon themselves to physically remove those students. And violence, sexual violence, rape is not unique to universities. It's not a conversation where I want to raise any scare about universities or colleges, because it is part of the broader South African experience. What happens at our universities, in our offices, in our clubs, in our religious organizations, our gatherings, our families, it's largely representative of what happens throughout South Africa. We hold continuously mirrors up to ourselves. But joining me now is the CEO of Higher Health. It's an organization that promotes the health, wellness, well-being, mental health of particularly tertiary education students. Dr. Ramnika Aluwalia joining me now on the line. Of course, two incidents is very prominent in media in Cape Town over the last week or so, Ramnik, but sexual violence, of course, in universities or schools, religious organizations, in corporate South Africa, merely but a reflection of the reality that happens in South Africa broadly on a daily basis.
It does. You're absolutely right. And good morning to everyone. It's one of those pandemics which are very difficult to handle. As you rightfully said, we are a microcosm of a bigger society, and this is a huge social health and probably our economic pandemic, as I say, when we talk about GBV. In fact, from Higher Health, we actually did a ground survey with all our other countries around the world. And when we saw data coming from higher education, whether it comes from United States or even from UK, even Brazil, India, it's a pandemic that affects young people in post-school education system a lot. And there are many factors that leads to why sometimes we find ourselves in higher education talking a lot about it because of the incidents that happens on our institutions. But on the other side, it's just not about UCT and Stellenbosch. You know, the media has, these are good universities and people have good social media power. But when you talk about Higher Health and when you engage from Higher Health, I speak to you on behalf of my campus in Ndizana, in Ulundi. We've got about 300 TVET sites, our rural universities, and public CET colleges, about 1,800 sites. So all, when you see data and collective coming from those parameters, we realize that the problem is not confined to an urban or a semi-urban or a peri-urban. Mm. It is a problem that exists in everywhere, in every part of society. somewhere it gets noticed because of social media, and predominantly it does not get noticed because people do are not that empowered to report or engage the way UCT and Stellenbosch could do at times.
Ramnik, I'm very fortunate to have studied in the city in which my parents live. I never had a res or dormitory experience. Of course, I've been to bashes over the weekend, and sometimes I'd stay over, but I don't have the all-round experience of the dorm room experience. And I don't want to make this a conversation of course, when young people are, you know, crowded together and there's parties, that's not the reason, and it's not the excuse for gender-based violence. But in South Africa, when you have plenty of young people who move from the places where they live to places to study. Many young people don't have the opportunity to study where they love. What dynamic does this add to the conversation around sexual violence and the interaction of people in a residential experience? Again, not excusing young people and their party habits, because it's more than that. But what dynamic does it bring to this conversation?
In fact, it brings to the study that WHO has done to the entire world, including South Africa. And we have realized to find that 65% of cases of gender-based violence or sexual violence are preceded by drugs and alcohol abuse. And that's the highest in the world. The closest country to us is the United States with 58%. But drugs and alcohol has a very direct influence on sexual and gender-based violence. These unbound freedom, students leaving their homes, getting exposed to youthfulness, peer-to-peer influence, these are multiple factors that come together among the young person. And this is the first time the person is sexually oriented, more or less they're getting to be sexually oriented. And to be very honest, South Africa is an unfortunate country. We are a country with just 27 years of independence. We've inherited a difficult past. The generation that's raising kids currently has seen abuse in their families, mostly as single mothers raising their children. Children come from difficult backgrounds, but this is not an excuse, but we need to understand the socioeconomic, psychosocial issues that's leading to why we are suffering so much on sexual and gender-based violence. And drugs and alcohol then changes the entire attitude. And I think where we need to go stronger is this policy that we have launched on gender-based violence. We've become, as much as we are very proud to become the first in Africa to launch a gender-based violence policy in higher education, the big exam and test is how does the implementation will happen. It talks about safer campuses, safer residences, drugs and alcohol, issues of how containment will happen, a strong peer-to-peer voice, disciplinary tribunals, action from security, capacity to security, simple things like bathroom latches or lights in the spaces of safety for women. These are very, very sensitive and critical parameters in order for us to start putting prevention tools rather than waiting for cases to happen and then start reacting. So I think we need to change our mindset from a past that we come from, the present we have with the drugs and alcohol situation and the residences and our peer-to-peer influence, and how do we save, make campuses a much more safer place and conducive spaces.
I appreciate when we talk about, you know, response mechanisms. You mentioned latches, safety, lights, even drugs and alcohol. But are we simply using that as excuses by saying let's deal with the issue of particularly men and patriarchal systems and systems and communities based in patriarchal behavior? I don't need to use the excuse of drugs and alcohol, because as we know, sexual violence goes beyond just sex. It's also about power. And I'm happy you brought up, you know, family-based environments and the normalization of violence. So it really starts a conversation long before we send, you know, young people to universities and colleges. That even starts, you know, at the period of birth and upbringing, and also looking at the absence broadly in South Africa. Look at statistics of absent fathers. Something like 60% of children in South Africa don't have fathers registered on their birth certificates. the case to argue for our statistic on gender-based violence start long before young people even set foot on a campus.
You're absolutely right. You know, this is not a today's problem. This is centuries. If you look at higher health alone data, that's baselines that were done since 1970 of records of our own institution, even pre-apartheid, and the amount of sexual violence or rape even existed those days. You know, that's the last history of in our libraries we have documented cases. You're absolutely right. So higher health, so in post-school education, with vice chancellors, with principals of the TVET colleges, with CET campus managers, what we have now designed is that we're going to run a second mural curriculum. It's not we have decided we are running it. Just in the last 2 years, we've seen at least over 150,000 young students taking this as an extra curriculum option. But gender-based violence is a module with gender equality as a collective issue of when you're discussing gender, and not leaving gender diversity, which is equal on part of the gender. So gender studies are becoming predominant. Even if you're an engineer, you are in arts, you are in business sciences, you are in health, you all have to read and understand.
Sorry? No, sir, I agree with you. It becomes part of the curriculum. Unfortunately, Professor Ramnik Aluwalia, CEO of Organization High Health, really appreciate, unfortunately, running out of time. Appreciate your time here on The Morning Review.